Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Did you have a crappy birthday? Couldn't be me. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. My name is Sarah Ferguson, the resident birthday girl over here at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Move over, Julie. Your birthday was March 8th. Well, mine is March 9th, bitches. That's a little bit of that, but I'm not alone because my co-host that I have every week with me, Jessica Sterling. Jessica Sterling, how are you?
Hi, I'm just here standing Elena for repeatedly calling Noel male scum all day.
Yeah,
every day.
Yeah. Elena definitely had the girl's girl like badge of honor this episode because she does not invite fucking Noel to her birthday party like Julie does. She's like, you are crap and you will be crap until the exit of the rest of existence. And I don't want to hear you defend yourself because at the end of the day, you are crap.
Yeah, I loved Elena for this. Elena is a girl's girl. She knows how to have her friends back. And we appreciate that. She says, don't forget about your pride, Felicity, which like this is why I love Elena so much. But yeah, this episode, happy birthday, is just not so much of a happy birthday for poor Julie. I mean, obviously she has a great party thrown by her friends and everything, and that's lovely.
Yes.
Gets a guitar, great news. But like the mommy drama, Sarah, I felt so bad for Julie.
I do feel bad for Julie. However, it's overtaken by the I told you so-ness of me knowing that like there was a possibility that this was not the end of Malcolm in the Middle's mom. I forget her name. Caroline, maybe? I don't know.
Like Carol? The actress or her mom?
Her mom.
Her mom is Carol.
Okay, yeah. Carol. Okay, so I mean, like, I don't remember exactly what I said because I didn't look back.
No, but I think you were definitely more on the, you were more on the side of like, this could still be her mom. And I was like, I don't know, some random internet stranger found her. It's certainly possible he made a mistake.
I've been saying that everything on the internet that you read and do is true. So right. I was a believer, and I just felt like it. I don't know. The casting was just too spot on for it to not
the
be faces, her mom.
Right? Their faces do look a lot alike. Yeah.
I would say like if there is a reality where like they somehow found the perfect actress to play her actual mom, and then there was like a fake out and it wasn't her mom, then I would just be like, but yeah, my little Pisces intuition was pulling through, connecting with Julie, who once again is a Pisces queen born on March 8th of, I think it was said 1989. 81. That could, I think that was,
I guess that's, that math would math right.
Yeah, I think college. I remember, I don't remember where we saw it, but I think it was on the episode where they were talking about who Julie's mom was, and that rings a bell. So we definitely have an episode that is Julie focused, which I love. I like those, but I just want to say that, my favorite part of the episode was all the Megan and Felicity scenes.
Yes.
Because it was just so funny to see like where Megan came from. And I think it's just like so perfect that her parents are like, I don't know, like Bob and Sue from like down the block.
Yeah, it's, they're like, very like Midwestern, like Mormon type
too,
people.
Yeah, too normal type of people where they're just like all American and they have no idea that Megan is who Megan is. So it makes a lot of sense. And just like Felicity's like gumption this episode of just being like, just her trolling Megan was Kiss so good. I loved it.
Yeah, it was like I think it's ever since like the Assassin's game where like she just finally gave in to her like wanting to tell off Megan. I feel like ever since then she's like had a little bit more snark around Megan, and it's very exciting for me. Especially we're gonna get more box talk, so we're gonna discuss what potentially is in the box. What's in the box?
Yeah, but it's so good.
Before we dive too much into this episode, Sarah, of course you mentioned Julie had a birthday, and you had a birthday recently. Yes. How was your birthday?
My birthday was a great birthday. I you know, it's the first birthday that I'm celebrating away from my home friends in Jersey. Mm-hmm. But my partner Adam made it like the most perfect day from like literally midnight to midnight. Just and it was a lot of pressure on him because like everybody who knows me knows that like I love birthdays. Yeah. Like, and I love my birthday. And like we can get into like the psychology of why I like my birthday so much. We probably won't because who has the time? But I feel like there's just something about like, especially like growing up in a family who like, I wasn't like always the focus because I have like a sister with special needs, blah, blah, blah. Like my birthday was like my day where it was about me, where I got to be special. So like, I've always like really had like a heavy focus on like my birthday and like how that makes me feel. Mm-hmm. And Adam knows that, and it's a lot of pressure. Like, and he really doesn't like expectations and like all this stuff, but he's just like phenomenal. Like he's honestly like, he's just so good. So amazing. I like, it was just filled with things that I love and like a person that I loved and the person that I love's best friend who I also love. So, it was just great. And like everybody really, you know, like reached out to me and showed me, I just felt very loved, which is really, really special.
It's how people should feel on their birthdays.
Yeah. And also like, as much as I love birthdays, there was always like a sadness associated with it because obviously I just wasn't feeling some sort of fulfillment in my life. And like another year getting older means like another year of me not being in a place that I thought that I associated that age with an accomplishment.
Yeah.
That
I should very much be. Like I should be here and doing this and this and that by this age. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I genuinely feel like this was like the first year in a very, very, very long time that like I didn't have that anxiety. Mm-hmm. And like I just feel like that is very telling that I'm doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
I had a great birthday, much better than poor Julie's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a rough one. Let's hop into talking about happy birthday. And we start off with the iconic Elena, who bumps into Noel and calls him male scum. And apparently she's been doing this. This is not like the first time. Every time she passes him, she calls him male scum.
Yeah. I mean,
it just cracks me up. And I really like, the thing is, okay, because you could have a friend who will like do this just in front of you as like a way to back you up. But yeah. Elena's doing this of her own volition whenever she sees Noel, just on her own, which I appreciate even more because that is a true ass friend who does that for you.
Yeah. And it seems as though they've had like this, this conversation multiple times before where Noel defended himself and she's like, no, I don't want to hear it anymore. Like, yeah. You're wrong. You started the whole thing. We do see Noel like marking off a newspaper and it leads into this plot line of this episode where I suppose living down the hall from Felicity is too hard for Noel, and he has decided to throw in his resignation as an RA and move out into an apartment, which
wild.
Yeah, I mean space is good, and I can't imagine like being with an ex that's like down the thing and you see them all the time, and then you're also very near your ex's friends who like verbally assault you every single day. So like I can imagine how hard that is for Noel. My only thing is like, is there any way, I think like realistically in the world of college, like Noel, instead of just resignating from being an RA, could have swapped to a different building?
Literally exactly what I was thinking. Like, I don't understand. And maybe it's because it's mid-semester that there's not like any other dorms available, but
You just swap.
I thought they're okay. Yeah. So you're just like finding someone and being like, hey, let's swap rooms or whatever. Like, certainly, even he could even move to a different floor and it would probably be okay. I think he just doesn't want to like, right down the hall.
A little better, but like, I'm sure NYU has plenty of RAs.
Yeah. But it's just like crazy that he's moving into an apartment, which is very different than a dorm. Obviously, like, I mean, we all know how college works, like dorms. They're more expensive than like an apartment probably, but you're usually paying with student loans versus like apartment. You have to have that money right then. So this is like a huge shift. I don't know that he says that he is going to have roommates or anything, but like certainly going to be more expensive. We'll talk about the price of rent because I found it funny. But yeah,
he's really like, first thing that I find that I can get, I will move into. And it doesn't matter how much it is, how little it is, where it is. I just need to get out. I think like it's something that like a person would make that decision when there's like a lot of like stressors in their life and they just need to like get out. But I just don't think it's the right solution. I think that there's probably like 11 other things that he can do that is not fully move out of his dorm and sell all of his shit. Which, by the way, if you're going to furnish an apartment, unless he's looking for a furnished apartment. But anyway, like you still need all your shit.
That's what I really didn't understand.
He needs the money.
I had the same thought as you though. Like going from a dorm to an apartment, I'm like, you need more things, Noel, not less things. But yeah, I guess he does need them because we know he's not well off. So he's moving. Elena goes and she tells her that she's like, I love how we start off the conversation with Felicity saying, is this going to be another one of those guy scum speeches? And I'm like, I can only imagine how many times Elena has said this to her. But yeah, it's like, I mean, it's, like Felicity obviously has so many feelings about it. And she's like talking to Sally and she's saying like, I've never broken up with anyone before. Like sometimes I feel really sad. And then sometimes I'm like furious at him. And then sometimes I feel very guilty about what I did to him. Yeah. And honestly, I feel like all of those emotions are super, super normal when going through a breakup, especially one as like dramatic and intense as theirs was versus like the inevitable sort of like we're in different places now and we're just different people. Like that to me is a little bit of an easier breakup than like this, you had plans for what you were going to do on spring break together and the next day you're not even together anymore.
Yeah Very, very, very valid. I totally agree with you. My only issue about any of this is that Felicity literally looks like a sewer rat in these scenes, and I don't know why. Like her hair looks gross, her like flannel shirts all disgusting. She's wearing these like baggy ass like tan pants, like utility pants.
She's going through breakup and she's not trying. Like what do you want from her?
Just just stop looking like a sewer rat. You're gonna
let her be in a funk. She just was in a, she just got out of a relationship. We've all been here where you just don't get out of your sweatpants for like 5 days, you know, like that's just how she is.
Yeah, she looks a little smelly. That's what she looks like.
God.
Okay, so
maybe she's avoiding the bathroom so she doesn't bump into the
I understand. That makes a lot of sense. Megan comes in and Felicity tells her that her parents left a voicemail on the answering machine that they're coming. And Megan had no idea. I don't know. Like, I feel like they probably told her and she just chose to forget.
Yeah, for sure. And I love her, like, in, like, basically being like, what the hell, to Felicity. And Felicity's like, I didn't invite them. And Felicity, like, snapping back at Megan is one of my new favorite things. And I feel like she only is doing it because she's already filled with so many emotions with, like, the breakup that, like, frustration just comes out. You know, she has less of a, like, or more of a temper. Yeah, this ongoing Megan storyline this episode was absolutely one of my favorites.
Yeah, so funny. It was so good. It was so good. Mm-hmm. More on that in a bit. The girls are hanging out they're planning Julie's birthday party, which unfortunately they have to have in the dorms. I just wish, like, Ben has a big ass apartment with Sean. Like, why can't we have the party outside the dorms, please?
I literally thought the same thing because I'm like, if you have it in a dorm, it feels like there'd be a lot more restrictions in terms of like how loud you could be. You obviously can't have alcohol. Like, there's so many restrictions versus there's a nice, beautiful, large apartment that Julie is always hanging in anyway. Like, why wouldn't you have the party there? It doesn't make a ton of sense.
It doesn't.
But, you know what? Whatever.
Do you see how cute Elena looks in this episode right now?
Yeah. Her hair, her outfit. She has like a cute little crop top. Her top and bottom match beautifully. She
finally doesn't look like a banker. I'm really happy for her.
She looks her age is the thing, whereas they kept making her look so much older.
I'm thinking back to the outfit that Felicity borrowed to talk to the immigration lawyer and it's just like, this looks like some, like, I don't know, some granny outfit, but I like this fit and she looks like she's having fun.
Yeah, I like the three of them hanging out. I wish we got a little bit more of this. Like, me, I just want to see, you know, like, I feel like this is very common for us that we just want to see like the vibes. We want to see everyone kind of hanging out, seeing how they bounce off of each other. And they seem to be having like a really good time, but Noel bursts in and he's like, oh, the music is so loud, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, Noel, if I was you, I would not pass go the doors into Felicity, Elena, or Julie's room.
Yeah, because you're running the risk of Felicity being in there. You know she's friends with them.
Exactly. Do not enter. Maybe slip a note under the door at the very most.
Yeah. And I love Elena giving him more shit. But Julie being the like little kind-hearted soul that she is, she turns the music down. And this is, I think, where we get into a faux pas from Julie, where she asks Noel if he's coming to her birthday party. And he's like, oh, I'll try to come. And I think Elena is the one who's like, it's going to be literally right outside your door. So, but the biggest faux pas of this whole situation is Julie doesn't ask Felicity first. After she invites Noel, she turns to Felicity and is like, is that okay? It's like, you need to do the other way around, girl. Mm-hmm. You can't invite Noel and then ask Felicity if it's okay.
That was a very rough move by Elena. I did not like that. Not Elena, sorry, by Julie. I did not like that. Yeah. That is not a girl's girl. You do not invite your best friend's ex to your birthday party. He is uninvited to the birthday party, actually. If you gave him an invitation, you take that invitation back like the monster that you are. Because if my friend had that, I'd be like, you are no longer invited. If I see you come into my party, you will be escorted out. Thank you.
Yeah, goodbye. I will stomp you. Yeah. I will
stomp on you.
Yeah, but like, Felicity says it's okay, which I do think she wants Noel to be there. Like, they very much want to be in each other's orbit without like interacting too much. You know what I mean? Like, they both want to keep an eye on each other and what each other's up to, I think. And so she's fine with it.
Don't do it. I think I talked about this last time. Literally, you just have to block them from your life. Stop spying. It's too tempting.
Oh, it's exactly. You don't put yourself in that position. Mm-hmm. But simultaneously, we see freaking Carol walking down the hall. And literally the second I saw her, Sarah, I was like, oh, fuck, she actually is her mom. Like, I just knew. Why else would she be here? You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it doesn't make any sense. She shows up. And they're talking about, I do love the slight shade by Elena towards Felicity about all the sweaters that she wears. She calls her the sweater queen.
She is the sweater queen. Absolutely.
If the sweater fits.
Yeah. If the sweater fits.
Mm-hmm. And so the girls leave so that Carol and Julie can have a moment alone. And Carol says, oh, this is like a birthday present. I wanted to give you something. And I mean, I was already like very much like, okay, well, she's back. So she's obviously her mom. But especially when she gave her a birthday present, because I was like, how's this bitch know when her birthday is? Unless she literally pushed her out her vagina.
No. Julie definitely said her birthday. Like, she's like, I was born at this place. And oh, March 8th, right, blah, blah, blah. But no,
I still felt like very, were you sus at this as soon as you saw her? I mean, you already were on the same page anyway, but
yeah,
like,
no, like as soon as she entered, like there's nothing else to say than to be like, I'm your mom. Like nobody's like buying people, a big bag of clothes. If like, hello, random intern that I hired who was there for a week and, I yelled at me in my office. Let me come by, swing around. I feel bad for you. So here's a big bag of clothes for your birthday. Yeah. Hope you like Express. No way.
Yeah. She says, I'm here to give you this and the truth. And she admits, I am your mother. I shouldn't have denied it. And they hug. And so we all are like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. You know, Julie and her mom, like she actually knows her mom now. So like, I wasn't that hopeful, but I was at least like, well, at least now Julie knows, you know, that's great. Mm-hmm. Things are going to go downhill for poor Julie. But meanwhile, Noel and Guy, we've seen Guy a bunch of times, but like, I never got the impression they were friends, but I guess they are now. Cause Guy is very upset that Noel's moving. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? Besides, you were there when the fire started.
There's no reality that I'm going to remember who this man is.
I mean, honestly, just his hair that made me recognize him. Because he has like very like, curly, blondy, reddish hair that's like very big.
Yeah, I choose to forget Guy.
That's fine.
Every time he's on my screen. At least Noel has a friend because he seems a bit friendless.
Because this is Sarah, tell me that Noel isn't the guy who puts everything into his relationship and loses all his friends when he gets a girlfriend. That is exactly who this guy is.
It's so sad, but so true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Guy is like all upset that he's moving. And he says, Felicity's the one that diddled this other guy. And I'm like, you're in college. I think you could say fuck. Like, stop. Diddled? Diddled?
Diddly diddled you.
Yeah, diddled is not a term that we use when we talk about having sex.
No, diddle even might be below make love.
Diddle is like you're touching some parts, but you're not actually having sex.
Whenever I think of diddle, I just think of one singular index finger diddling the penis.
That's exactly, yeah. Like, that's, it's like you're like doing like a little like a almost a like flick. A tickle motion. Yeah, like a flick or a tickle, not like an actual full-on jerking off situation.
But I mean, I would be like, actually, Guy, I fucked him.
I did not diddle anything.
I just didn't diddle him. I full-on fucked him. And it was pretty good. And then I got flowers the next morning. I just want to speak my truth. That's the thing.
And to give Noel like a single ounce of credit in this scene is he does say this isn't a rough patch. Like, it's torture seeing Felicity all the time. And he says, like, and he does say, like, he's like, I'm hoping I see her, but I'm also hoping I don't see her.
Too tempting.
And he says that, like, he feels like when he left here with Hannah, he gave up the rights to any commitment that he had with Felicity. True. Like, actually very fair. Like, now I feel like he's through a little bit of, like, the, you know, he was seeing the red fog when he first finds out.
Yeah.
And now he's able to calm down and kind of see the situation for what it was.
Yeah, it's really nice that he actually reflected on what happened during the situation and is seeing some clarity and acknowledging the part that he played in it, which honestly is very emotionally mature. Like, yes, we're all humans. Maybe our initial reactions are not very good at times. Right. But if you are able to think and eventually like come to the conclusion that you played a part in it, then I think it's okay. Like, yeah, I was frustrated at him last few episodes, but like I said before, like, I love the fact that he thought about it and he's not sitting there like you know, just like being angry in his own mess. Like, he is trying to find a solution. I do think it's the wrong solution, but yeah, it's a solution just the same. And yeah, acknowledging like, this is what I need to feel okay. That's
yeah,
great.
He's, I mean, he, at the very least, like, this is on the opposite end of the spectrum of like going to the art studio and seeing who it was that Felicity fucked. He's like trying to remove himself from the situation, which it's understandable, you know, and maybe he's doing the thing where like, you're so eager to get out of a bad situation that you will take anything that's out there, which isn't always necessarily like, you know, you're desperate. So it's not always necessarily the best solution.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're in Sean and Ben's apartment, and Julie is wearing the dress and sweater that her mom got her. What do we think of this? What do we think of Carol's taste?
Ugly, horrible.
I mean, it's very 90s. I don't think it's that bad. It's like it's a black kind of dress with like flower embroidery and like kind of like a peachy salmon like cardigan over top.
I think I just saw the cardigan. I didn't really see the dress.
The dress is cuter than the cardigan.
Okay, I gotta relook. I also am like very blinded by Megan's future dress. So yeah, everything is just awful terrible, but we get to see Sean's new invention, which I kind of find a little bit fascinating because so this thing, now I do think that there's some science to this. So this,
I agree with this. Yeah,
a mechanism to help you relieve yourself of headaches or migraines.
Yes,
but it is two red broomstick poles, something like that.
Yeah,
made into like a fish-like shape, and you put it on your head. It's not very practical.
It squeezes your head.
It looks fucking dumb as shit.
I run into walls constantly. Like, can you fit through a doorway with this on? I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, like, I would say if he was a good inventor, he would make the equilibrium balancer headache remover to be a good 20. Lower than 28 inches. A standard door width is 28 to 32 inches. ADA compliant doors are 36 inches. So if he would like to make it accessible for everybody, it should be under 28. I would say that looks larger than
it's really big, but this is also just feet. his first one, right?
Yes, like, it's just his first prototype. Yeah. Now, the thing is that it looks dumb as shit, but the concept is good. Like, I do think that there's something to, like, when you have headaches, pressure for headaches does help. And I think that there's something, like, a lot of people, like, get vertigo, and, like, to have your head, like, to be balanced out and, like, center your, like I said, equilibrium. I think that's all good. It just, like, it's kind of like Google goggles, those like Google goggles, and now like they're the Apple ones, the Apple like things.
Oh, with the water on them or whatever, and then it, or in them, I mean.
It's these are like wearable technology where like it's Apple has one now where it's just like, it looks like a giant visor screen on your face. It just looks stupid. Like, it doesn't matter, like, if it works. I feel like if it looks dumb and, like, not livable, then, like, people are not going to invest in it. So, good concept. And I think that, like, if you found something that worked better, like, you know, like, the headache sleeve things?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like that basically does the same thing, and it doesn't look as dumb.
Yeah, I just think he's like, this is just his prototype. And so, but basically he's like, but I don't have a headache, so I don't know if it works yet. And Ben's like, well, this will give you a headache. I don't have enough money for rent because Dean and DeLuca pays crap, so I need another job. And Sean is like, I'm eventually gonna say no. You know, and Julie compliments Sean on his invention. And Sean says to Ben, like, make sure you get her a good gift. And Julie's like, no. Like, you don't have any money. Don't get me anything, which this is going to come into play later. But Julie's off to go have dinner with her mom that night. Just the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Her and her zigzag part are going to meet the mom. And yeah, like, we also have like Ben asking her earlier in the episode, like, oh, is like the whole family going to be there? Like, so Carol,
and she says she's more excited than nervous, which is like, I mean, a good thing, but then like obviously ends up not going well. I love Felicity walking into her dorm room and thinking that she went into the wrong room because she sees such normal people, like some normal middle-aged people hanging out in there.
That, and if you look at Megan's side, she completely transforms her side.
Yeah, there's like flowers on the frames. There's like portraits of flowers everywhere. Like, it looks nothing like the hot ass mess of gothic inspiration that was there before.
Yeah, which is pretty impressive to have the foresight. Yeah, she's like, okay, I'm going to change everything. And then Megan comes in, never saw her like this before. This is gonna sound so mean, but the actress that plays Megan is so pretty. She's so pretty. I love that.
Because you're like, I didn't even recognize her. I thought this dress was very like Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, no. Her outfit's horrible as heck. I'm saying like head up. Like, I am always so distracted by her makeup and her hair. Like, I didn't realize like how pretty this girl was.
Yeah, well, because it's, I mean, to be fair, the how much makeup and like goth stuff, it's very much like a mask in a way. Like,
yeah, you can't goth, it's really underneath. Punk, but yeah.
Punk, yeah.
And okay, so.
Like, she comes in this Little House on the Prairie outfit.
Yeah.
And they're going to go to the Met, I guess. And I love her parents' names also are Walter and Faye, which I feel like so perfect for these
kids. Yeah, it's really good. They're like as vanilla as can be, just
totally. And they're so opposite. Kind. They're like, oh, Felicity, nice. You should come to dinner with us. Yeah. And Felicity is like, oh yeah. And Megan's like, abso-fucking-lutely not.
Yes. And then Megan asks for the biggest favor. She asks if Felicity could watch her box.
Yeah, she has to put it on her side of the bed on her side of the room because her closet is full of all her actual things. Yes. So she's out of space for her box.
Yes. And then in the meantime, like, because they were whispering, Felicity she claims that is her box. And then she does this little thing where she's digging at Megan, like, this is my box I'm so obsessed with. I don't want anybody to look at it. Mm-hmm. If they did, then they would absolutely faint. And it, you know, in reality, like, it's like probably not a big deal and you probably won't care. And Megan's like, yeah, but you respect me and my privacy and I would never open up your box. It was very, very funny.
And like, I mean, okay, I think we've made guesses before as to like what's in Megan's box.
Yeah.
And like, I think we're going to have to make guesses again, especially after the scene later with Felicity and Megan's dad.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we're going to. So let's put a pin in that because I think we're going to have that discussion. Mm-hmm. But I love. So they're going to the Met. Megan and her parents are going to go to the Met. And I love that her mom calls her Meggie. Like, Meggie. This is very like, gosh, this is very just. When your family has a name for you that like you would never introduce yourself as to anybody new that you met. Mm-hmm. It's just so relatable, Sarah. Did this ever happen to you like growing up? Did you have like, no, you didn't. Well, I mean, Sarah, I guess is a little bit.
No, harder, like, the name Sarah does not have any nicknames.
Nickname potential.
I have no nicknames. Yeah. I have a couple, but not so really.
My entire extended family calls me Jessie, like entire extended family. And like, mm-hmm. It's not weird to me. It would be weird if someone I didn't know called me that. Like, if you just came on and started calling, I'd be weirded out.
What are you talking about? I call you Jessie Poo like more than I should.
Yes, but that's a you-ism more than like, you know what I mean? Especially like, call me Jessica. Like, that's just a you thing.
That's not, Jessica. You know what I mean? That's such a good name. Yeah, I call my best friend Jilly. Like, I always call her Jilly, but it's not weird. But like, I'm like probably besides her family, I'm like one of the only people that call her Jilly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just funny. Like, I love her family calling her Meggie. I love how embarrassed she is and how like determined Megan is to not let her family know basically who she really is. Mm-hmm. It's also very sad, but understandable. I mean, yeah. When you meet her family.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm getting to know like Megan probably comes from like a really small Midwestern. I can see a Midwestern town. Mm-hmm. And she probably is very, very different from anybody else that she knew at that school and very different from her family. And she is finally in New York and gets to be herself, which is very, it's very interesting. And I really do want to learn more, because I feel like my initial interpretation was that like Megan was a born city kid. Yeah.
Yeah, like, we originally thought that she would like lived and grew up in New York.
Because like, she just like knew where to go. But like now I think that she's like a little like a girl from a little town somewhere with like graduated with like 58 people and
yeah,
did most of her time in high school researching New York City and a way to get out.
Yeah, I fully believe. Yeah, I'm totally with you. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think that she's done a really good, like a convincing job of being like, I grew up here. Like I'm from here. Like it just feels like she is from New York.
It's kind of like, you know, like, the thing about New Yorkers is that you have to like walk with purpose. So like if like fake it till you make it. And I feel like she was like, I'm going to rewrite myself and who I am and where I come from. And I belong here. And she has this like confidence and purpose that she is a natural New Yorker. It's very, very, very interesting. And more on that.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But we do have this dinner with her and Julie, and essentially, I mean, like, I don't, this is like such a weird place to go, but Julie takes her to like the local college bar that Lynn works at.
Yeah. And listen, I've been very hard on Lynn. I do think he's rising. Like, I feel like this was a good Lynn's like
fine, except for the fact that he is addicted to sports gambling and it's bringing Ben into a really bad situation.
Yes. In this particular scene, I thought he was great because he like Lynn he tells is great Carol,
with Julie.
Yeah, he's so great. He says, oh, like we had somebody cancel. Can you play on Friday? And he says, oh, you got to see her play. Like she's so good. Like it was like very kind, I thought, of him to say those things. Like he didn't have to. And it was really nice of him to say that. But yeah, Julie and Carol have this conversation where she asks like, oh, when did you get married? And, she says like, oh, Julie says, oh, I can't wait to meet your husband. And this is when Carol reveals that like, listen, I'm like so proud of you. I want to get to know you, but my husband doesn't know about you. And I don't think I can tell him. So that's going to have to be like the way things are. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this from Carol?
So I just want to start off all of these discussions with the fact that I believe, if my memory is correct, this was supposed to be a closed adoption.
And correct, right, because
she inserted herself into all of this. Because I just want, she says later in the episode, like, you know, like this is influencing my life too, blah, blah, blah. Like Carol didn't have to humor any of this, and it was supposed to be closed adoption, and Julie did violate those terms in a way. So I mean, like, it's messy because like, of course, like I think that like the best relationships and marriages lead with perfect communication, or as close as humanly possible to try to communicate. And I think big secrets like this fester. And the issue is not that they had a baby. It's that she kept the secret from him for 18 years. Mm-hmm. That is a problem. And so it's really messy. But if that wasn't a part of the equation, I would say like Carol is justified to it's messy, it's complicated.
Yeah, so where I stand on it is I think you're right, like it was a closed adoption, right? However, I do think when Carol approaches Julie now after having lied to her, I do think there is some sort of like assumption that, okay, you want me as a part of your life now. You approached me.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that like it's fair of Julie to expect that like I'm going to be involved in your life. And that means not being kept a secret. And I think that like if that is something, I think Carol probably needs to like lead with that almost, if that's how she truly feels. But I also think like having, let's just be frank about it. We're going to find out later that Julie's father is Carol's current husband, that like, yeah. And so I think like that to me is like an even bigger betrayal that like, you're not going to, I mean, especially now that you've met Julie, you know her, you know, she lives in the same city that you are in, and you're not going to tell your husband that he has a secret daughter out there that's 18 years old. That feels like an even bigger betrayal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would understand if it was some guy who was like, she never saw again after high school or something like that. But like, to not allow Julie to get to know her father and to not allow Julie's father to get to know her, you're doing both of them an injustice.
Yeah. I mean, like, Carol's definitely, yeah, like, I agree with that. Like, Carol's definitely, like, very emotionally immature in this moment because mm-hmm. and is not fostering healthy relationships and then also not creating healthy boundaries for herself and her family. Because right. I do agree with you, like, you know, even though she did not ask for this, she did reopen up the door by coming back to Julie.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think that she is not creating, like, boundaries and expectations with Julie because, like, I mean, and also it's just, like, the more information you give her, I don't know. Like, there's like a part of me that feels like Julie has to accept, like, if she gets the information, she has to accept the information she receives.
She's the one who's seeking it out. So, yeah, she knows there's a potential that, like, even if she meets that person, she's not going to be involved in their life. I think yes. that the problem is that when her mom comes back into her life, I think yeah. they're obviously, well, you came to see me, you know, like, what? Yeah. Why would you? And so I get that. And, like, obviously there is also there was the chance of, like, she never would know where her father is because, like, they're not in the picture. So it's very complicated, but gosh, my heart just breaks for Julie in this moment because, like, she's basically met with a, like, this is just how it has to be. And that's really hard, like, to not really get a choice in the matter, you know? Like, she's just told you have to be a secret.
I know. I mean, like, it's really, really hard. It's really hard to accept, like, nobody wants to be kept a secret. It's you know, it's interesting because, like, it's not like she doesn't like her adopted family.
Right.
It's just that, like, she just wants to know herself.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a hard, and honestly, like, I can't even say, like, how I would feel or what I would do because I'm not in this situation. So I'm not quite sure, but yeah. I just think that, like, everybody needs to, like, temper their expectations. Like, Carol needs to expect that if she, the more information and the more she clues Julie in, the more Julie's going to want to be a part of it. Like, especially mm-hmm. when she finds out that she has two biological siblings yeah. as well. Like, it's just very hard because, like, she sees, like, how she can slot into her birth family. And it's hard to accept that she's not going to be a part of that. It's really, really, really yeah. hard. But also yeah. she has to realize that it was supposed to be closed and these rules are made for a reason. But
yeah,
that
doesn't, protect
even,
people,
that doesn't but... even negate Carol not being a good wife, which is, like,
yeah, exactly,
another
exactly.
problem.
That's a whole
issue. It's very, very, very messy.
Yeah.
And clearly I think that mainly Carol is in the wrong here.
Yeah. So then Felicity and Noel bump into each other in the elevator. And she says, oh, I think I found out that you might be moving. And they just basically have, like, a really awkward moment where they don't really know how to be around each other.
Has anybody tried just getting a different elevator? Like, they don't have to be in the same elevator, and I'm sure they can take the stairs.
I think it's by the time she hops in the elevator, it was so crowded she didn't, like, originally notice he was in there. Mm. But very fair. And so she's talking to Elena about this, and she says, oh, I almost said something. And Elena's like, well, thank God you didn't. And she, Elena is me, and I am Elena in like so many ways. Like, I just feel like my ego and pride, it would be way too much to want to be like, no, no, you should stay. Like, Elena is very much on the like, fuck him train. She's like, He wronged you. And of course, obviously, like, her experience with Blair, I'm sure, is playing into this, where she's just like, no, fuck men. They're terrible. Focus on school. Like, it's not your job to go make him feel better. And I love Elena being annoyed. Like, this is, you know, this is too far, obviously, to when you're trying to be a good friend. I feel like Elena takes it a step too far, where she says, like, the fact that you're trying to like make him feel better pisses me off.
I mean, I've said that before in a way. It's just like, you're just so frustrated because you just want to be like, hello, friend that I care deeply for. Like, please, like, stop giving him shit for his benefit. Like, it's so annoying. You know, it's fine. It is what it is. What it is. Elena is just like, and I think you're right. Like, I definitely think that Elena, it's like, Okay, I don't think Elena's falling apart, but like, the sentiment is like, don't take advice from somebody that's like super biased has like a vested interest, or like, don't take like a life advice from somebody who's like going through it, because it's hard to not put in your own experiences into a situation, but. Yeah.
It's really hard for Felicity, because obviously the person she's confiding in right now is Elena, and Elena has the history with Blair. And so I think like, Felicity's not hearing what she wants to hear from Elena, even if I think Elena is more right than wrong. Like, I think Elena is right that like, no, it's not your job to make Noel feel better when he wronged you. Yes, maybe you slept with someone else and that hurt his feelings. It's not your job to be like, no, no, please stay. You know, like, you both need your time apart at this point.
Right.
So Ben and Julie are basically hashing out what Julie's mom said to her, what Carol said to her. And Ben is just like, okay, well, like, why did she even come back if she wants to keep you a secret? Like, she obviously has no problem lying. She's been doing it for years. And I'm like, thank God that Ben says this, because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, but like, in my opinion, Julie has a hard time being angry with Carol because she's so grateful that she actually found her birth parent. And like, I think all of us sometimes struggle to be angry with a parent, especially it's hard to be angry with someone that you don't really know either. It's easier to be angry with someone you really care about, because you expect that either you'll get over or they'll forgive you, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's easier. Yeah. It's easy to be angry at someone you love. It's really hard to be angry with someone who's like a virtual stranger, especially when she has such high hopes for like getting to know her birth mother.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really tough. And Ben is there to support her. And Julie is like, you know, trying to defend her mom a little bit. She says like, you know, it's probably hard to bring it up now, like after all this time. And Sean is in peak disaster mode, Sarah. He doesn't know where to take Chloe on a date.
Such an issue. Like, I mean, such an issue. Everybody else is going really through it, but poor Sean can't figure out where to bring Chloe on a date.
Well, later she's gonna like cancel on him because some kind of like library card catalog emergency. Is this real, or is this like, is she blowing him off?
No, there's no emergency card library categorizing emergency. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, I feel so bad. I really do. I feel bad for Sean. He likes Chloe so much. I hope that she's not going to like blow him off.
What emergency card catalog?
I don't know. That's
a bunch of, that's not true. He's done. He was a dull first date.
Ugh.
She found out about his school collection.
Yeah. Oh, so bad. Then we're at the bar, and Lynn is like on the phone. It's very obvious that he's placing bets, and Ben is listening in on this whole conversation. And like, Ben can't believe how much money Lynn has made. And this is where we're docking points from Lynn, where he's like, he is pushing Ben to place some bets on, like, is it the Knicks or something? I can't even remember, to be honest. Who cares? Sports betting, basically.
Yeah, New York. They said New York Knicks. Yep.
Oh, okay. The Knicks. Yeah. And it's just like, he's like, oh, I'll hook you up. I got this. Ben's like, no, I can't. He's like, come on, man. Yeah, you could do it. And he does end up getting Ben to bet, I think it's like $300 or something.
I thought that he was, I am so confused, like, because I thought Lynn said that he was going to front in the money or something.
I think he was like fronting half or something
like that. Half, yeah.
With it.
Yeah, this is a storyline that I don't think I'm going to enjoy, because obviously Ben is going to become have like a gambling addiction.
Yeah,
issue.
They're setting it up here,
I feel like this is like Ben needed something. I don't think I was expecting sports betting addiction to be part of his something, but it's certainly something. That's true.
He's getting more interesting at the very least, but it's going to end poorly, because obviously it's going to end poorly.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
So Julie goes to visit Carol at her office, and she's like, oh, I want to talk about this. But Carol is really like blowing her off. Like, oh, this isn't a good time. You know, like, I'm sorry. This has to be the way it is. And Julie's like, you know, Julie is trying. Gosh, this is so hard, Sarah. I feel like Julie is trying so hard to be nice and be like a good little daughter. You know what I mean? Like, she's mm-hmm. trying so hard to be like, I understand where you're coming from. Like, but, you know, I really love everything you got me and we get along so great. But like, I have to be a secret, and I don't like that.
Understandable. Like, I wouldn't want to be a secret either. That like really sucks to have somebody to feel like somebody is ashamed of you. That sucks. That's really awful.
Yeah.
So, and you know, this is where Carol like puts up the walls again. Like, you know, like, you don't know half the story. And then we see a little girl, which once again, they did such a good job casting, because this little girl looks like a little Julie.
Yeah.
Such a good job. They did such a good job. And obviously, like, it's awkward. Like, it's awkward, an awkward situation, because, you know, like, Julie at least is smart enough to be like, this is not the time or the place, especially in front of this little girl that looks exactly like her. So she is like, you know what? I get it. Like, I don't like it. I understand. Yeah. I mean, the boundaries like don't last long, but you know, it's,
yeah,
she understands.
Yeah, she says, Carol says, it's like all I can offer you right now, which mm-hmm. I don't really like that as an answer.
Well, I do agree that Carol should tell on her own terms. That is fair.
Yes. It's just like the whole situation is really fraught. Like, it's all very difficult. Julie is left like very upset about the whole thing. And then back to the box, back to Megan and Felicity. They get back from the Met and they're like all excited. Like, Megan has this like sweater on her shoulders. Like, she looks like she's going to a country club. And her mom got her this like new dress, and she's like, oh, it's so darling. And Felicity, I love Felicity in these scenes where she says, it's so you, Maggie.
Yeah, this is exactly what I was talking about earlier in the episode, that this is just so, it's just so good. It is just so good how, like, Felicity, like, is standing her ground and, like, giving it back. Like, she's been used and abused by Megan for, I don't know, like, how many months, like, 8 months, basically, in school. And finally, she is, like, kind of, like, taking her turf back and giving back what's being dealt to her. And it's so good, because it's pissing Megan off so bad. She can't say anything. She can't do anything, because she has to act like a normal person. Mm-hmm. Normal, according to her parents' standards. Oh, and also, Felicity is so good, because she was so tempted to open the box, but she did not.
Yeah.
She was so good. But she gets invited to dinner again. She doesn't go to dinner. And then her and Elena are like working on homework and she keeps staring at the door. There's a lot of goings on for Felicity. These two keep circling around each other, Noel and Felicity, like a bunch of freaking dinguses. Just get out of there.
Yeah, it's no mistake that where Felicity is standing is directly in line of sight of Noel's room. And they have a conversation where he did find an apartment on a studio on Washington. Mm-hmm. It's an Eden kitchen, rent control, $680 a month. What a steal in New York City.
And it's rent controlled. So yeah, maybe if you stay there to this day, it would still be $680. I don't know if that's how rent control works, but I assume that's how, because this is how like all these like 20 somethings are living in huge New York City penthouses, because, you know, Grandma Eleanor had like a $600 apartment back in the day that was rent controlled. So lucky. So freaking lucky. Of course, and Monica Geller, which, by the way, if her apartment was like $600, maybe it does make sense how she could afford that.
Yeah, yeah. That I remember that being a whole conversation. But yeah, so he's moving. Both of them look disappointed about it. Elena's not disappointed. She didn't give a single fuck.
Boy, bye.
Yes. Then we're back to the bar with Ben and Lynn, where again, like he's convinced Ben now to place some sports bets. And he says, okay, but like Ben knows that this is the wrong thing to do, because he's like, Lynn, please be quiet about this. And I did like Lynn being like, okay, time to play some gambling. Like, let's do it.
It's really funny. It's so funny. It's just like such a bad idea. I just feel like people that, people, it's like, you know, having a person that, has no idea how to use money or credit gets a $10,000 spending limit on their credit card, and then like it's just snowballs and it's a disaster. But of course what has to happen in all of this is that you need one win and then you're addicted, and he does win. He writes his rent check to Sean and he's living the high life. Like, I think that we're going to see in the next episode there being a huge problem. And yes, as you mentioned before, Sean gets stood up on his date from Chloe due to a emergency in the library. Unless the library is on fucking fire, there's no emergencies in a library.
Yeah, I felt so bad for Sean too, because he's like, he's all dressed up, like he's really excited to go, and she's supposed to be like picking out the place, and the computer card catalog crashed, and so she has to help the reference librarian. Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like a bunch of BS. Why is this a 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night issue?
Who's going to the library? Isn't the library closed? I guess not if it's a campus library.
Yeah, I mean, like, but get the IT guy to come in the next morning.
It's really sad, though. Sean gets stood up. Ben's writing him a check, and he's like, just wait on this one, but here's the money I owe you, because he just won big on the sports gambling. We're at the bar, because it's now Friday night, and Julie is singing her song. And let me say, can I just say how thankful I am that we're watching a show where the person who is supposed to be good at singing is actually good at singing.
Very good at singing, yeah.
She's so good. I really liked the song.
I did too. It was very like on the nose, because I think it was like, I want to be in your life. Like, don't I deserve to be in your life?
Please, mom, let me into your life.
And then like, even though Carol is like, you know, I feel as though you and I should not, you know, be together in each other's lives, and I just told you that I want to keep you a secret, I am also going to break every boundary and come anyway. And I saw her, I'm like, go the heck away. You are not invited here, ma'am. Leave me alone.
This is the wrong thing to do. Because she knows Julie's going to be playing Friday night, so she knows where to find her. And she approaches Julie and says, like, listen, like, I have to talk to you. And Julie's very upset. She says, like, oh, I know I'm not your real daughter, that, like, the other girl was your real daughter.
Yep.
It's like, oof. But so Carol explains that, kind of like what we said before, she was she got pregnant at 17. This was like the first person she'd ever been with, and she never told him. She went away for the summer. They kind of separated. She went, had the baby, gave the baby up for adoption, and then they reconnected later on, and they got married and all this, you know, all this other stuff. And so the guy she's, this is like kind of a wild story, Sarah, that like the guy she did have the baby with, now this is very like a Teen Mom. What are their names? You know who I'm talking about, the two, Caitlin and Tyler, I think, are the names. Where like,
oh yeah,
they gave the baby up for adoption and they stay together, although obviously he knows about the baby in that situation. But yeah, so then this is even more fraught. Like, I feel like if I'm Julie, like, I'm even more upset because you're now holding my dad, my birth dad, hostage. Like, he doesn't know me and I don't know him.
Yeah. It's really rough. It's like, it's really rough. It's like a lot of big missteps from Carol in these situations. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, her life got blew up. But like Julie's life got like, it's just so freaking messy. And I think that it's just Carol's at this point where like, even though she knows this scab is going to bleed, she just can't keep picking at it.
Yeah.
She just can't stop. And I just feel like for Julie, it's just like, well, if I can meet both of my birth parents in one swoop, like it's just like too tempting not to. Like she really wants to, and it's unfair for everybody involved because yes, of course her birth father can't make his own decisions for himself, and also like it really does affect their marriage. Like she's holding a humongous, awful secret that is pretty much unforgivable to keep this such a huge secret. And like, I think like back in the day, this type of shit happened all the time. But guess what? We have 23andMe now, and these secrets just come up and pop up like popcorn. Like they're everywhere now.
I had a prior coworker who, because of 23andMe, found out that she had a sister that she never, and they connected, and like her mom met her, you know, she met her birth mom. Like it was a whole thing, and they were very close in age.
Yeah.
Like it's very wild times that like, that's a thing that can now happen because of 23andMe. Like, oops, no more secrets. Like you got found out.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, that is like really sad to like have this feeling that, that like your birth parents are still together with a whole new family. But
you're not invited. You were
the one that got given up. But also, like, thank goodness that, like, Carol – well, actually, Carol kind of got forced into it by her parents, which is not like she actually does wanted say, to, but
– she does say, yeah, like, my parents, the condition was that, they supported me. They were very supportive as long as I gave the baby up, which I did.
Right.
So, yeah, it's tough.
Right. So it's not like, but like, I'm happy that she had the resources to do that. I don't know.
And I mean, obviously, like, Julie has very, from what we understand, very loving adoptive parents, right? They're very supportive. Mm-hmm. They're very loving. So obviously she didn't get put into like a bad situation as a result. But I just feel like Carol wants to have her cake and eat it too. She wants to get to know Julie. She wants to meet her daughter. Yeah. But she also doesn't want to tell her husband and her kids. And it's like, well, you can't really have it both ways, Carol. You're right. Like, if you didn't want that to happen, you shouldn't have reapproached Julie. You should have let sleeping dogs lie.
Again and again.
Yeah, exactly.
And given more information and more information.
Yes. And especially she's really putting herself in a compromising position because we'll talk about later when Julie like sees them eating in a restaurant, like great potential if Julie is a different person for her to just walk up and be like, hiya, this is who I am.
I'm your daughter. You know? Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Richard finds out that Noel is moving away and having a yard sale, which really upsets him because who can he fuck with now?
I love Richard being sad about Noel not being an RA when he never stops bitching about Noel being the RA. Yeah. This is incredible. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
He just likes to complain. And who is he supposed to complain to if there is no RA to complain to? But there has to be an RA to complain to because it is regulation. And like we were talking about before, Noel is selling all his shit. I think because he needs the money, but also, like, You can't sell your shit. You need your shit.
I also thought there was like a secondary reason for him to sell things. And it's possibly because like, oh, this reminds me of Felicity. Like, oh, she touched this or she sat on this or, you know, whatever. I don't know.
That's pretty possible. Felicity does a walk by and sees the yard sale, feels sad, but still looks like a trash mouse.
It's because her hair is just pulled out back in like a messy bun. Listen, she's living a real authentic life.
She has little red birds on her shirt. She's dressing like a grandmother. Like a grandma.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Very awful. Grandmotherly, which is, it's even funnier than when Walter approaches her, Megan's father approaches her, and he's like, listen, we need to talk. Like, we were very concerned about Megan. And when you talked about the box, we got really curious. And so I'm not proud of it, but we were alone and we looked in the box and we want you to have like an explanation because, you know, it was very shocking what was in there and we don't want a negative influence on our daughter. And when Felicity says, I'll throw it away, he says, I don't see how you can do that. So like,
yeah,
my gut was like, it's a living thing.
Yeah.
But like, what would be in there that wouldn't make any noise? You know, it can't be like a rat. Like that would probably chew its way out. You know what I mean? No, like what the hell is in there? It's shocking. She can't easily throw it out.
Okay.
And like, it's a negative influence.
So we're thinking that it's something that's a little bit more like it has to be something. If we ever find out what it is, like it can't be like, because like obviously I'm thinking like heroin needles, right? You can't throw heroin needles out because it's a biohazard.
But and I feel like they'd be flipping out way more if it was heroin.
Sure, sure, of course. But it's seriously disturbing. I'm thinking human teeth.
Ew. Okay. I like that option. I was thinking
like strung together in like a necklace.
I like this option. I was thinking something a little bit more, a little bit less intense. And I was thinking like, what if it's like weird stalker-esque photos of like a person and they're like all cut out, like all that. Maybe she's obsessed with someone. She takes photos of all of them, but crosses out or cuts out the heads of every other person in the photo.
Okay. Yes. But then like, why can't you throw it out?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, I want to know what's in the fucking box, Sarah. I know. I do know.
I do too. And like, as a reminder, Adam and I have a bet that if we find out what's in the box, then I get like a really nice purse out of this deal.
I remember this. But yes.
He is very confident that we will never find out what's in the box because he says that it's very J.J. Abrams to present a mystery because he says that not knowing what's in the box and having that mystery is more interesting than anything that could possibly be in the box.
It's a very fair assessment. However, now that it keeps getting brought up, I just feel like we have to find out. It's just a question of when. Is this like end game territory where we won't find out what's in Megan's box until like the final season?
I think so. Like it's going to be like a long running bit, but the answer is like, are we actually ever going to find out what's in the box? And what can it be that's like so shocking? Now, I will say like their parents like look like pearl clutchers. So maybe
anything would be shocking to them, right?
Maybe it's like a lot, but like not as crazy as it as like me or you would think.
Yeah. That's fair. Gosh, I don't know. I want to know though.
It's like maybe it's like art made out of like human hair and like
you could throw that away
clippings.
I'm so stuck on the not being able to throw it away part, like of like it must be living or something. I don't know.
No, it's I don't think it's living. Like I don't think it's living.
No, because it would be hard to. I mean, it's very small box, so it can only be so many things, and that wouldn't make noise and chew.
Unless
its way out.
It's like used to be living.
Yeah. Oh my god, gross.
And she like it's like maybe it's like ew. Like stuffed dead hamsters.
Taxidermy.
Yeah.
What if you open it up and it is taxidermy mice and like in a little living environment. Like they have a living room and a kitchen and a bathroom, and it's like a whole miniature living space for taxidermy buddies.
I see it. I hate it. I don't respect it, and I don't want it.
I think that's exactly what it is.
And it's like so weird. And it's like, what could we possibly like?
Ooh, no. I just had another idea, but it's not right. I hope that's what it is. That's my number one hope.
I hate it. And it's just weird enough to be.
That's what Megan does in her spare time is, okay, have you ever seen Dinner for Schmucks? Have you ever seen that movie where he makes like entire, he makes like little clothes for them. That's what Megan does in her spare time. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I'm exactly on the same page as you. Like, I know exactly it's what fucked. You're saying.
Yeah, and it's fucked.
Fucked and it's disturbing.
Yeah.
And that would probably be like, and it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And it happens. Like, people do that. Like, I've seen it before. Yeah. Like, I've seen shit like that before. There's people out there that like to do that type of shit. And I can't. Like, I would be, that would be the worst case scenario for me to find. That would be a very big deal breaker. Like, if I found Adam has a collection of propped up mice in human situations, like playing poker, I would, that's the deal breaker. I found what it is. Like, I was like, there is nothing that, but that's it. That's
the one.
I'm so disturbed. I can't. Well, I will not stop thinking about this.
Hopefully we will find out soon. Julie spies on her birth mother and father having dinner with their kids. She
No boundaries.
For a second, I thought,
inappropriate.
I don't even know how she found out where they were going to eat. But her dad, did you recognize her dad, Sarah?
No, I don't know. I don't know anybody. Everybody looks like a potato on this show.
So this is Bradley Whitford. He plays Josh Lyman on West Wing. That's what I know him from.
I think I'm like a girly that watches West Wing.
No, but he's like, I mean, he's a famous actor. It's fine. So she's spying. She doesn't go over, though. She just looks, and she returns back to her dorm and calls her adoptive father, and he says, happy birthday. And they're so sweet. Like, they sent her, like, a package and everything for her birthday, and they say they miss her. She doesn't tell them anything about having found her birth parents. And she says, yeah, I miss you guys, too. This was, like, a very sweet scene, and it made me feel so bad that Julie, like, doesn't feel like she can tell her adoptive parents about this because obviously they would be hurt and all this other stuff, but it just made me feel really bad that she couldn't confide in them about it.
Yeah Like, obviously she's doing it because she doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I just feel like she feels very alone in all of this.
Yeah It's awful. Felicity helps Noel hang up the banner for Julie's birthday, and they talk about
him moving. A lot of people setting up for this birthday party. Like, little Julie is really getting the belle of the ball.
She's very popular.
this is just ridiculous. Like, how many people are just celebrating. It's like, they don't do this for everybody.
But Julie gets star treatment. They could have even had it at the bar that she plays her guitar at all the time.
Look, I don't know. We just have to have it at the dorms. I guess they want a dry party. I guess they want to be bored as fuck. I guess they want to be under the thumb of the authorities at NYU. Who the heck knows? But
they like, they have like an awkward conversation where he's moving later in the week, and she's like, oh, have a good move, I guess. The party is raging. Everyone's showing up.
And they bring presents. Like, everyone's bringing presents. All these rando people are bringing presents too. I want to have a party where like all these people that I barely know have presents, give me presents, and there's balloons.
Yeah.
And a banner.
I mean, it looks like a rager, you know, as much as a rager can happen in the dorms.
And this isn't even her 21st birthday. This is probably like her 19th birthday.
Yep. Yeah, it is. Julie gets her birthday present from Ben. At first, it looks like it's just a guitar pick, but he says, I couldn't wrap the rest. He pulls out a brand spanking new guitar.
No, it's used.
Well, new to her.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's like, oh no, you can't afford this. Like, you shouldn't have bought this. And he says, he lies, because of course he does. He says, my dad sent me money, so I don't have to worry about it.
Everyone's lying to their spouses.
Don't like
or
it.
Or their significant others. Like, it's not it. Good. Not no. good at all.
No, she's really happy. She seems like in pretty good spirits considering everything that happened. You know, Julie, I feel like Julie, Sarah feels like the type of character who will always smile and pretend like everything's okay, even when it's not.
The Pisces way. Yeah. But also she's definitely getting like a little like drunky, like silly, you know. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm so lucky, I have such great friends.
Yeah,
like I think that she's overcompensating a little bit. Like, she's crying on the inside, like all of us are.
So Felicity goes over to Noel after seeing Richard spent $15 on Noel's watch. I don't know why you'd have to sell. I guess he does need the money. But yeah, she wants to have a conversation with him, and she says to him, don't go, like, it's going to disrupt everything. Like, you're the linchpin of the whole operation. But you're because really good RA.
The RA. That's why, not because he's anything special. If you get another RA, then they're the linchpin of the operation. It's ridiculous.
Felicity's like, if you leave, like, this is never going to be resolved. So don't go. And
this was bad, I felt, because I feel as though like she's coming back and is like, I still want something with you. You need to stay because there's still potential here.
Yeah, I just liked this very much. Yeah, not great. He doesn't answer. We don't get an answer on what is going to happen with Noel this episode. I mean, I don't think he's going to move.
We don't get much of any answers this episode. Like, we don't really know the resolution of Julie and her mother. We don't know what's in the box. We don't know.
Yeah, they really did set up a bunch of shit and not give us anything, huh?
Yeah, they're like, here's a bunch of shit that's gonna come in the last four episodes of the season. Like, you deal with it.
Yeah, that's pretty bullshitty.
That's future Felicity, the show's problem, not today's.
Yeah. Yeah,
not 2 days.
Julie gets a massive freaking cake, and they want boring ass Ben to make a fucking speech. And Ben sucks. Ben is just like, I don't know how to speeches. Happy birthday, Julie. At least you're a fucking girlfriend. You could do better than that, bro.
Yeah, that's a really awful speech. I feel like Lynn could probably do a better speech than
he
that.
He could.
Sean could probably do a better speech than that. Felicity could definitely do a better speech than
Lynn
that.
Lynn would talk about, these are the three things that Julie does better than anybody else.
That would be such world. A good speech.
I know.
Oh, that would be so good. Yeah. But Julie doesn't feel that phase about it. She blows out her candles, probably wishing for a new mommy and daddy.
So sad.
Everyone claps for her. Everyone's smiling, but everyone's miserable. That's the way. And then finally we end this episode with a peace offering between Megan and Felicity.
Love this.
Even Felicity gets a clean new cup from Megan.
Yeah, they're all out of cups, and Megan offers hers, and then goes and takes Richard's cake, which I really liked.
But that cake's huge. You know that there's so much cake. It doesn't matter. She just wants somebody else's cake. That's the thing.
And then Felicity just stares longingly at Noel across the way, and they make eye contact, and it's like, okay, enough of this.
Julie's cake choice is the worst combination of cake.
Yeah, it was chocolate cake, right?
With vanilla icing.
Bad.
Horrible. Yeah. Disgusting. Revolting. That's awful.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a chocolate cake, which I really don't want to do.
I'd rather have marble than chocolate.
That would be fine. I would accept that. Mm-hmm. Chocolate cake with chocolate icing. Go full in. Maybe do like a Black Forest cake. Add some raspberry or cherry.
Wow.
Yum, yum, yum. My personal favorite cake is vanilla, but with some fruit. So I like if there's like actual fruit in it or like a raspberry preserve. That's my favorite type of cake. But yeah, like I like vanilla. I would like do vanilla with chocolate icing. That's probably like my least preferred cake of threshold that I will eat happily. But if you give me a chocolate cake with vanilla icing, you're getting kicked out. That's fucking disgusting.
Wow.
Love cake, so I have a lot of opinions about cake.
I'm more of a I love strawberry shortcake. That's probably my favorite. But I do love a yellow cake with chocolate frosting. I do.
Yeah, that's fine. Like it's fine. Like it's,
and a carrot cake obviously is like the best, but that's not normal.
It's not my preferred cake, of vanilla cake with chocolate icing, but like I would tolerate
it. You would still eat it. Yeah.
I would still eat it. Like if you gave me a chocolate cake with white icing, I will look at you with disappointment and hurt.
Okay.
Actually.
So we end the episode with Felicity kind of doing like a little bit of a longing glance at Julie and Ben, who are like caressing, kind of like hugging, dancing. And I'm like, okay, I think she's just, I don't think it's about Ben. I think it's about them as a couple. And she just wishes she had that still. And she
doesn't. Still agree with that assessment. I do.
That's our episode. Happy birthday. Not so happy birthday. I thought it was good, but I agree with you on like further reflection. It's like, gosh, they set up a bunch of stuff without actually answering anything for us.
Yeah.
So hopefully next episode we'll get more answers.
Well, yeah, we have 4 episodes left. That makes perfect for a 4 episode arc to end the season. Who knows what's going to come, but hopefully some excitement. And I know that Julie's birthday wasn't the greatest birthday that could that ever lived, but you know what? Like sometimes birthdays are rough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Sometimes birthdays are not so fun. I mean, listen, still better than Dawson Leary's birthday, I think. Not as disastrous. But we do have some feedback from Temi, so let's hear what he has to say about the birthday episode.
Hi, ladies. Over the years, watching Keri Russell in interviews, I've noticed that she likes to close her eyes when she talks. I think it's cute and endearing. I think she did that at the end of the episode here. I don't know if that's something worth mentioning, but I think it's a cool little fact or a little opinion that I've generated. And Carol's husband is played by Bradley Whitford in the episode. And at the time, they were married.
Oh.
So it's actually kind of cool that he came on the show. He's a pretty big actor, at least a character actor. He was on The West Wing. He was on a show that I loved called Trophy Wife with Malin Ackerman. So for him to come on, it's kind of probably because they were married that he was encouraged to have a non-speaking role. And I thought it was interesting when Julie was in Carol's office that if I was Carol in another sense, I'd be like, bitch, get out of my office. You're about to meet your sister. Get out of here. I can't deal with this. They're asking me all these questions and now you're here. I know I shouldn't have come. Why are you punishing me like this? So, I wanted to pose a question to you. What do you think about lies by omission? Thanks.
Lies by omission are still lies.
That's true.
So where I stand.
I think that, lies by omission. I just feel like they're the perfect way for people that don't want to hold accountability to voice that or make them think that they do nothing wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I hate it when people are like, well, it was a lie by omission. It's like,
you knew what you were doing was wrong.
Exactly. Like, that's like really shitty. Like, I think that it's just like about communication. Like, you know, just have the difficult conversation, it just feels grody.
It does. Yeah, I agree with you. Who do we want to give our winner point to this episode? I kind of want to give it to Julie. It is her birthday.
Yeah, Julie. You gotta give Julie the birthday gift.
Yeah, gift of a point. Good job, Julie. Next episode. I'm pretty excited for it because the title of the next episode seems good. So I'm pretty excited about it. It's called Documentary, like documentary, but vent in the.
So stupid.
I had to look that I didn't mistype it when I checked.
That just looks like a typo.
I mean, I'm excited. I'm hoping people are going to vent. Maybe someone's filming a documentary. I don't know, but it seems promising.
All right.
So we'll see. In the meantime, we also just released a bonus podcast for the movie Best in Show. Which was so much fun. We had our friend Stuart come on and chat with us about it. So definitely check that out. And while you're at it, if you like that conversation, join Stuart and I over on the new podcast Talkin' Shit, where we are talking about Schitt's Creek, talking without a G, and shit is spelled S-C-H-I-T-T, like the show Schitt's Creek. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to drop weekly podcasts on Fridays. So yeah, definitely check it out. We're at social media. We're on social media. Everything is at Talkin' Shit if you want to find us. And yeah, Sarah, beyond that, we're still doing Buffy. Obviously we're doing Felicity. Check out all of those things. You can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram, and always send in feedback. Shit90sPod.com is where you can find us and send us in voicemails, emails, all that good, fun stuff. Sarah, anything else you want to say? Do you want to chastise anybody that didn't wish you a happy birthday on your birthday? Any final thoughts?
No, everybody came through. I have no thoughts. Okay. It is no longer my birthday. Yep. And I'm just, you know, your average girl now.
There you go. So
it's over. It's all over. Everything's over until next year.
Yes. Another year. Until 6 months where you're going to celebrate your half birthday.
So. Oh yeah. My half birthday, big there half birthday girly as well. That's true.
So yeah, that's everything we're up to. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with, if you're sending in feedback, make sure you send it in soon. I'm going to be out of town. So we're recording early. We're recording on Tuesday this week. So if you want to send in any feedback and you're listening to this on Monday or Tuesday, send that feedback in as quick as possible, because I'm going to be out of town. So we're pre-recording. But that's all we have. So until next time, have a good one, everybody. Bye. Just ask. Shit90 shows taught me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.